Good morning, everyone. Amazing time to be together and just to fellowship around the Bible. I don't know if there is any way to fellowship if it's not around the Bible. Around the flesh, around the problem, around many things, but the Bible, just fellowship around the Bible is something amazing. I know some people, they look at me and they say, why he put his glasses up like this? So I'm going to satisfy your curiosity right now. I am so spiritual that I look always up. So if I put my glasses down, please help me. Okay, I want my mind to be from above, not from below. Yeah. As a preacher, I have learned that we have to do things sometimes just to keep people awake. So this is one of the things. More seriously, we are talking about... We are going to talk about connecting heaven and earth. And I'm glad of everything we heard until now. Great messages from Pastor Kim, Pastor Texier, Pastor Chibeli, Pastor everyone, Pastor Schaller, of course. And it's amazing. It's amazing to see that there is so many portions in the body. And every portion can give us something very special. So let's pray that you will get something from me this morning, from the Lord too. Not just my glasses, but something. Lord, we thank you for this time, this opportunity to share your word. Thank you for this great, sweet, amazing fellowship. Thank you for everyone who came from far or close, whatever. And we want to hear from you. We want to hear from heaven. And we thank you because you are so faithful. You are always available. No line before you. Everyone is invited at the first place. Thank you. We love you. Lord, we love you. We love you very much. And bless this time now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, the portion that God put on my heart to talk about connection is Genesis 15. If you want to turn with me there. Genesis 15. And there is a great story. Belonging to Abraham, and it's verse 7, the Lord is speaking to Abraham, and he said, then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. This is a great promise from God to Abraham. But God is in heaven, and Abraham is on earth. The voice came, he heard something from God, and it was from God. I always marvel thinking how Abraham have learned to listen from God. Who taught him? This is the voice of God, you know, far in his country, in his city. But anyway, he knows how to recognize the voice of God, and God spoke to him. And he said, I am God, and I have a promise for you. You're going to go to a certain country. It will be your possession. Now, I can easily put myself, I mean, in the place of Abraham. And Abraham could have said, okay, Lord, you want to do great things for me, but what will be our connection? What will be the way I will know that you are with me? And the day I'm gonna doubt, I'm not sure if there will be a connection between us. And what of the day when I will sin, maybe? There will be a connection between you and me, between heaven and earth. And what the day when I know I will not be willing to walk with you? This morning at the pastor's meeting, Pastor Mighty shared something from his heart, and it's always challenging to hear someone who speaks from his heart, something belonging to him, his personal and secret life, and especially when we speak about weakness or difficult time we go through. And it's good to know that we are all the same. And I'm sure that Abraham was exactly the same that you are. Exactly the same I am, that I am. Sometimes, I wonder, am I connected with God? Sometimes I wonder, is my life connected with the great I am? Is my life connected because I fail, because sometimes I don't find in my heart exactly the desire that God would like to see in my heart? So I can easily imagine Abraham walking with God and asking those kind of questions to him and to God also. And God is going to answer him, because God is generous, is gentle, is kind. And in Judges 6, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, and Gideon started to speak, you know, stupid things. And the angel was just there, okay, do you have more to say? No, I'm done. Okay, go. But gently, the angel of the Lord, you know, listen to Gideon. Because God is like this. He knows who we are. But the connection is not our problem. The connection is God's problem. It's not our problem. And he's going to give him a solution. I don't know if my reading will be good, but anyway, you can read in your Bible. It's why you bring Bible, you bring Bible in church to read it. I don't know if you know that, but you know, not just to show up with your Bible, but to read it. So, and especially now, because you will not maybe understand what I'm going to say. So, please turn in your Bible in Genesis 17, verse 8, 15, verse 8. And he said, verse 9. And he said to him, bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Then he brought all this to him and cut them in two, down in the middle, and placed each piece opposite to the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. So this was a way, not for the Christian or Jewish people, because the Jewish people did not exist outside of Abraham for the moment, but it was well known in the country, well known in this part of the world, that if we want to make a covenant, we will take some animals, cut them in two, put the two parts in front of each one. And after that, the two parts, the two people willing to make a covenant, they will pass through them, and they will be a covenant. And it's amazing to consider that God asks some animals, like we see in Leviticus, you know, for sin, for thanksgiving for everything. So in all what Abraham is going to do, we have a picture of the covenant of God with man. You know, I could have bring a rope. I wanted to do that, but the time was not before me enough. I had no enough time to do that. But we can make a covenant. We can connect things. Let's say we can connect things with different things. A rope, you know, you tied one end, the other one tied one end, and we are connected. We easily say that we push on the button and we are connected on internet, connected with the whole world. Also, we can be connected with, how do you call it, handcuff? Easily connected with handcuff. Especially if you lose the key. Yeah? If you leave the key. And we try to connect by different means with God. And easily, as I said, I think that Abraham could have said, yes, I don't know if I will be able to keep it. I don't know if I will be strong enough to even to believe it. I don't know if I will be good enough for you to do your part. But the time is running, so I'm not going through a lot of things, but Abraham did what God asked him to do. And he cut the animals in two, did everything perfectly. And the Bible says that some birds, big birds apparently, they wanted to feast, you know, with the animals of the covenant. And for hours, Abraham tried to chase them, and he succeeded in that. But he was so tired that he fell asleep. And God said, "Now I'm coming. Now I'm coming." Because the covenant that God made with us, it's, I don't know how to pronounce the word correctly, but maybe you would understand. Unilateral. Do you understand that? The covenant of God with us is unilateral. It means I'm not asking you to do anything. I'm just committing myself to do things for you. So the connection between heaven and earth is not less than a covenant. First, God Himself. You know, for those who are married, we have a ring at our finger, but honestly, it doesn't mean a lot. Because it's in our heart. And we can make, as husband, we can make an unilateral covenant with our wife. I will love you anyway. And the wives can make also an unilateral covenant with their husbands and say, I will love you anyway. Anyway. And God did it. He waited for Abraham to fall asleep, and when he was soundly sleeping and maybe snoring, I don't know. Sometimes the noise indicates you that the guy is really sleeping. He can trick you with his eyes, but not with the snore. Yeah. So, and God came and he passed through like a burning, like a flame. He passed through the animals, and the covenant was made. And I'm sure that Abraham woke up and said, "Hey, what's happening? It's done. It's finished. I am the one who can connect heaven and earth by a covenant." You know what? There is nothing stronger than a covenant. David and Jonathan made a covenant to be friends forever. It's something mystical. It's something you cannot see. You cannot touch. It's in my heart. It's in God's heart. I am committed to you. This is the way. It's my wife calling me saying it's over. Thank you very much. Everyone knows that you are controlling me now. No, it's just my phone ringing, telling me that it's a good slave. It's good. So I'm done. Okay. Yes, I'm done. God bless you.
Is leading you to his embrace. Oh, when you know you're holding tighter to his hand, that's when you can say amen. I've known many trials in my lifetime, and I have heard death knocking at my door. But in my darkest hour of desperation, oh, I called out to Jesus, who calms the storm. And I say amen, 'cause I cannot bear the pain alone. I realize I'm not on my own, and all my pride is finally gone. I say amen when the only thing I have is faith. I know that every step I take is leading me to his embrace. When you know you're holding tighter to his hand, that's when you can say amen. So when your heart cries out for love, and when your soul is torn and bruised, just surrender to the one who was broken for you. Say amen. The only thing you have is faith. Know that every step you take is leading you to his embrace. When you know you're holding tighter to his hand, you know you're holding tighter. that's when you can say
I'm following Pastor Luigi's example. I put my glasses on my head. I need them anyway, so it's good that I could look up. Also, that's Rachel Corsi from Baltimore. And if you have a DVD and an opportunity to see Rachel in all of her acting glory in the play, she was a great Martha, really. And it's a good spin on Martha, too, because, you know, Martha gets a lot of bad messages, but she actually was like a pretty stubborn and really strong-willed believer. So, okay, that's my take on that. Right now, we're going to hear from Peru in Lima. He's planning a transition to another part of South America, Argentina, and he's really like, people have sent their sons and daughters to him and his wife, and they've really become awesome ministers of the gospel in Peru. So would you welcome Pastor Stan Collins.
I'm not going to do that with my glasses. Actually, I think that maybe both Pastor Luigi and Pastor Steve need a little anatomy lesson. Like, I mean, you can put your glasses up there, but, like, I think maybe their favorite artist is, you know, Picasso. You know, eyes everywhere, you know. Okay. Okay. Well, it is good to be here. and the title of the theme of the conference is Pastor Steve. Like, I don't think there's ever been a conference where everybody spoke on the theme of the conference. Normally, like, you get... It's not over yet. But, like, you get the theme and you go, okay, how can I work that into my message? Yeah. Okay, I'll just mention, you know, like two words or say those words in the message. Okay, there you go. It's in there. Do that early and you're all set. Okay, connecting heaven and earth. There you go. They're too far from each other. Like, how can we connect heaven? Aren't they? They're too far. They're like, you ever, okay, you ever see a bridge between California and Hawaii? Oh, you guys are laughing because you know that joke, right? See, my wife doesn't think that I can abstain from telling that joke, but I'm going to abstain from telling that joke. No, ask my wife later. It's not even that funny. Actually, she probably won't tell you. But they're too far. They're too far. Heaven is too high. Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9. Heaven is too high. Earth is too low. God's thoughts are higher and our thoughts are low. God is too good. Man is too evil. God is too pure. Man is impure. God is true, and this is actually what I want to talk about a little bit this in this message here, is like God is so true. God is so trustworthy. God is, his word is so sure, and every man's a liar, right? And I want to talk about that a little bit. God is great, and man is insignificant. How can you connect heaven and earth? God is so great, and man is so... like one of my favorite verses is Isaiah 41 verse 14, and I like the King James there. It says, "Thou worm, Jacob," and the reason I like the King James there is because it uses the word "thou." Because, like, somehow that makes me feel a little better. Like thou just sounds so, you know, like thou worm, you know. I mean, worm is not exactly, but thou sort of helps it to, like, you know, it helps me to receive that a little bit better. Thou worm. Okay. Okay. Isn't it true? So man could not connect, as Pastor Luigi said, but isn't that wonderful? Like it's God's unilateral. That's a good word, by the way, Pastor Luigi. Good word, unilateral. God did it all. But man could never. But maybe a woman could. Like, okay. Look at Joshua chapter 2. Because we want to talk about the truth and a lie. Like, this is amazing. This Rahab, here's another good phrase, wicked sinner. Like, you know, I mean, is that like a little bit redundant? Like, you know, use a wicked sinner. How about him? Well, he's just a sinner. But he's a wicked sinner. Like, okay. As opposed to, you know, the non-wicked kind. But Rahab, a prostitute from another land. And you know the story here in Joshua chapter 2. The woman in verse 4, Rahab, took the two men and hid them. So she said, yes, the men came to me. She said, because the king sent, right, and said, hey, we saw these guys, and they were from Israel, and they're here spying out the land, and we saw they came to your place, you know, like, where are they? And she lies. She lies. She says, yes, the men came to me, but I didn't know where they were from. Lie. You did know where they were from. Like, and it happened that as the gate was being shut when it was dark, that the men went out, lie, they're on your roof, right? And where the men went, I don't know, lie, she knows exactly where they are. But who is she talking to? Like she's talking to the enemy, right? She has perceived something, and we'll see it in a minute here. She has perceived that, like, her leaders are false, but these men are true. She's perceived that their God is true, and that their idols are false that they have in the land. And she has seen it, and she's convinced of it. So she's lying to protect these guys. And then she goes, like, where they went, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. Like, but pursue, and then she gives some, like, advice, you know, hey, you know, like, pursue them quickly, or you may overtake them. It's like lying to the devil, you know. Hey, keep it up, you may win. Like, you know, keep trying, you may win in the end, you know. You may finally actually defeat us. Go ahead, keep trying. And you can't. It's like this is what she's saying. Like, go. Hey, you may find them out there. Like, they're on the roof. Like, okay, she brought them to the roof. And then it says the men pursued them by the road to the Jordan. And that's important, too, in the chapter. They went by the road to the Jordan. When she sent them out later, where does she send them? Mountain. She tells those guys, go to the Jordan. Or they went. Well, she watched. She didn't tell them to go to the Jordan. She said, go and pursue them. She watched. They went to the Jordan. She goes, when she sends the guys, go to the mountain. Because they went to the river. You go to the mountain. She's understanding, she's seeing a difference. This woman is actually, she is like, I mean, yes, it's God that connects heaven and earth, but she is perceiving it. right? She is perceiving the connection. And because she says later on here, she says, now she says in verse 8, and she says to these two guys, now she's not lying. She's talking to them, and she says, I know. Before, when she told the other guys, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know where they were from. I don't know where they went. But now she tells these two guys, she says, I know that the Lord has given you the land. I know that you are winners. I know something about this. I don't know. I don't even know. This is like the other one. She actually really did know where they were. How does she even know? This is like by faith. This is a faith knowledge now. Before it was like, okay, yeah, I saw where they went, but I'm telling you something different. But and it was a lie, but it was like, it was a good lie. It was to the devil. Go, find them. You know, like, ha, ha, ha. Expend your energy. You can't win. In verse 9, oh, I'm sorry, that's the letter G. Okay, you guys are laughing, but you love me, right? Okay. Hey, when I was thinking about this morning as I was like, you know, I was going like, hey, you know, like, actually, like, I'm a missionary, like, and but I think I actually purchased every item of clothing that I have on. Like, I remember one time I preached at Eurocon, and I don't know how it came up. I just was sort of looking around, like, yeah, I borrowed these pants from, and I told the people in the conference, I borrowed these pants from Pastor Hadley, or he gave them to me, actually, and the socks, I think, from somebody else, and the shoes somebody had given me. And the shirt, and even like I didn't have a tie, and I think Pastor Kende said you can't preach here without a tie. So, okay, what? Are you self-conscious? But and then I got a text from Peru, from Juliana Timofte. I got a text from Peru afterwards saying, I thought you were going to tell them about your Mormon underwear even. Hey, well, they said that, you know, they said that they're magic, and I figured, hey, whatever. If I, every advantage you can get. Pastor Pete Wisteris said that I have Pittsburgh Steeler everything, including, I don't have Pittsburgh Steeler underwear, okay, I don't. I have pajamas and everything else, but, by the way, Pastor Arto, oh, he's gone. I saw him, it looked like he had pajamas on over there. That's what made me think of that. Look. Verse 11. At the end of the verse, the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. The Lord your God is God in heaven above. She made the connection, you see? Like, I mean, God is the one that did it, but she's perceiving it. See, God did it, and this is all it's about. Like, we are perceiving the connection that God made between heaven and earth. And he really did make it, and she's recognizing it. He is God in heaven above, and he is also God on the earth. And then she says something very amazing. She says, now therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, okay, not by your own strength, but by the Lord. This is such, she's amazing wisdom, actually, here. Swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house, and give me, and this is New King James, it says, give me a true token, give me a sure sign, give me something that's trustworthy, give me a sign that I can trust, give me a sign that's not counterfeit, it's real. And I believe that the sign that they gave was the scarlet. It says in verse 18, This is what the men said to her. We will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of... And I always think about this. Where, I mean, like, do they just like walk around with a line of scarlet cord in their pocket, you know? Unless you... Like, where did the line of scarlet cord come from? I'm not really sure. But they had it. Unless you bind this line, and I think this is the sign, and it's, you know, and it's obviously a reference to Passover, to the blood on the door. It's like, you know, it's actually like while she's waiting, what are in chapter 5, I think it's chapter 5, maybe in the like verse 10-11, it talks about that they are actually, they are doing, they are participating, the Jews, maybe we'll look there, I've got 19 seconds. Okay. It's chapter 5, verse 10, while they were camped in Gilgal and kept the Passover. They kept the Passover just before they came and did the march on Jericho. They were keeping the Passover. And what was supposed to be in her window was this, that they just, what? Oh. That's my, yeah. That's, if you didn't hear it, that's my, I said it at 14 minutes though, Pastor Steve, so I still got 60 seconds. Hey, like, think about this. The sign, give me a sure sign. And the sign was was Jesus Christ's sacrifice. Give me a sure sign about this. Because, like, I'm saying this by faith that God is God, your God is God in heaven and on the earth. I'm saying it by faith. Is there a sign of that, that God is God in heaven and on the earth? And the sign is the cross. The sign is the blood of Jesus. The sign is, we know it. And, like, someone last night said, and it was like, I think maybe it was Pastor Schaller, but I don't really remember, that we don't really understand, really. I mean, we're perceiving it, but I don't know how much we're perceiving, like, what really happened on that cross. And Pastor Love was recently in Peru, and he said, very, very powerful words, when Jesus was on that cross, you could have said, someone could have stood at the foot of that cross and said, rapist, and it would have been true, because he took the guilt of everything. I mean, you could have said, like, anything, and it was true. And, you know, terrible sins, and I know, like, and I don't mean to be light about that, and terrible things that have happened to people, but Jesus really did pay, and this is amazing to us, and this is our sign, and we, because of that sign, it's right. We say it by faith, connecting heaven and earth. God connected heaven and earth, and we're perceiving it. And the way we perceive it is in our Lord. Thank you.
Say of me when I'm only just a memory, when I'm home where my soul belongs. Was I love when no one else would show up? Was I Jesus to the least of us? Was my worship more than just a song? I wanna live like that and give you all I have, so that everything I say and do points to you. I know you've got a plan, so Jesus, here I am, recklessly abandoned, never holding back. I wanna live like that. I wanna live like that. And am I proof that you are who you say you are? That your grace can really change our hearts? May I live like your love is true? And people lost, many never even heard your name. Oh, let me be a light to show your way. When they see me, may they see you. Here I am, recklessly abandoned, never holding back. I wanna live like that.
I wanna live like that.
I want to show the world the love you gave for me. I'm longing for the world to know the glory of the King. I want to live like that and give you all I have, so that everything I say and do points to you. I know you've got a plan, so Jesus, here I am, recklessly abandoned, never holding back. I wanna live like that. I wanna live like that. I wanna live like that.
That's Pastor James and his wife Jill Deditis from Canada. Yes, that's great. And Pastor Stan, my favorite artist is Servio Matti. You know, he's got paintings down there, I'm just telling you. And it's in that Picasso range, if you go down there and look at it. Yeah, it's, you know, it's redemptive. It's not like Picasso, which was just psychotic, it seems to be. Anyway, and I like that. I like that lie, like that. Because I hear a lot that all men are liars. I hear that a lot, that it's really true, but it's nice to know that women lie also. So, okay. All right, our last, our next speaker has been serving in South Korea, and I can actually show you the church over on Harford Road where he was married to his wife, Anne, and they have a couple of children, and they didn't bring them this year, so somebody else won the grace race. His boys have won it for 3 straight years, but the string was broken. Grace Frankenhauser won the grace race this year. So, anyway, crowded field of 7, but it was awesome. So there you go. But Pastor Steve DeVries has served in Seoul, South Korea, and really just welcome him now, and let's hear from him.
Okay, good morning. What a beautiful day. Before I begin, I just want to introduce to the body assistant pastor of our church in Korea, Pastor Sejun. Would you stand up? Just wave hi. Thank you. Would you all like to learn a new a Korean word? Okay, moksanim. Moksanim. He is Sejun Moksanim. Do you know what that means? Pastor. Okay. And then when we were staying at Pastor Gary and Kathy's house the other day, and then so we needed to give Kathy a title. Her name is, now you can call her Samonim. Okay? Samonim. That means pastor's wife. Okay? So when you see Kathy Gronwald, call her Samonim. Or Queen Catherine is okay. Okay. All right. Yes, it's a great privilege, such a great privilege to be here. You open your Bibles to, we'll open to two passages. One is in Numbers chapter 13. And then and we'll read through, kind of skim through chapter 13, chapter 14, and then we'll go to Hebrews chapter 2. Okay. I love this theme. It's a powerful, powerful thing for us to consider. That God has joined. God has connected heaven and earth, and it's our privilege to experience this. And so if you have Numbers chapter 13, the Lord spoke, verse 1, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a leader among them. And then so Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran according to the command of the Lord, all of the men who were heads of the children of Israel. So we go through and have the 12 men from each of the 12 tribes. In verse 16, it says Moses sent to spy out the land, and Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. And so in verse 17, Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the ripe grapes. So they went and they spied out, and for 40 days they went. In verse 25, they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. And then we come down. Then they, verse 27, they told Moses and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey. And this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Okay, so now Hebrews chapter 2. And we'll just read verse 8. And 8 and 9. He's quoting from Psalm chapter 8. It begins verse 6. What is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you take care of him? Verse 8. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Let's pray. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you today. Just thank you for this great salvation. We thank you that you have called us to be messengers, disciples, ambassadors, sons of God. And here we are today, Lord. We are yours. And we ask that you just speak to your children's hearts right now. Speak to us. Stir our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So this story in Numbers, just as we begin, just notice, like, it is God. It's God that commanded them to go out and spy out the land. It was not Moses' idea. It was not the people's idea. It was God's command. Go, search out the land. Search, go through it. Go see what it is. See what it's like. And I kind of imagine in my mind that when they're all sent out as a group of 12. Just all going together, traveling together. But as the days pass by, it seems to have the 12 began to divide out and kind of drift. 10 of them began drifting behind a little bit. And I can imagine, like, Joshua, who Moses appointed to be the leader, Joshua went forward, and Caleb was right there, step by step by step with Joshua. But the other 10, just imagine, drifting back. And by the time they came back to Kadesh Barnea, you can imagine there's Joshua and Caleb coming and walking, and they're talking together. They're speaking with one another. The 10 also are speaking with one another. Isn't this an amazing land? Isn't it incredible fruit? Look at this fruit. It is incredible, beautiful. It really is flowing with milk and honey. But, did you see the men? Did you see the obstacles? Did you see the cities? Yeah, those are huge. I cannot imagine overcoming those people. I cannot imagine overcoming these problems. We cannot imagine. So they spoke together. There's one crowd in the back, 10. And then up front, here's Caleb and Joshua. What are they saying? What are they speaking to one another? Imagine. They're speaking to one another. It's a beautiful land God has given us. Promised to Abraham. And yes, the enemy is here. And those cities are awesome. And they are ours. God is giving them to us. They are ours. The enemy is nothing before God. What a different conversation going on with the group in the front, just two men. This is all they're speaking. They're just speaking. And the thought of, oh, this is, you know, the enemy is too overwhelming. It doesn't even, they're not looking at it. They're not thinking that, not speaking that. But in the back, the murmuring, the doubt, the confessions. In James chapter 3, we read about the tongue, the power of the tongue. And in our conference, we're talking about connecting heaven and earth. But in verse 6, it says that the tongue lights a fire From where? From hell. Connecting heaven, not heaven and earth, but connecting hell and earth. Communing, speaking. Could be just little careless words. It doesn't have to be much. Doesn't have to be said with an angry tone. Just words of unbelief. This financial problem is too much. My relationship and my marriage is just too overwhelming. I can't do it anymore. I can't bear it anymore. I can't overcome this anymore. The tongue, connecting hell and earth, connecting Satan's thoughts with the earth. And this is where we need to become so careful. We have a choice. I can walk with Joshua and Caleb. We can walk with Joshua and Caleb. We can walk with Pastor Schaller and Pastor Shabelli. We can draw near to men of God who are speaking words of truth, speaking the promises of God. Or I can drift back here with, oh, these grapes are so heavy. It's like even the blessings, I don't recognize them. Connecting hell, bringing hell into my relationships. And it is so subtle. Satan is so subtle. Satan is so subtle. Look at back in Numbers. Look at what Caleb and Joshua say in chapter 14. Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, or whatever, were among those who had spied out the land, and they tore their clothes as the whole congregation became infected with the connection from hell. The whole congregation, Moses and Aaron, fell on their faces. The whole congregation became infected. Caleb and Joshua tore their clothes. Verse 7, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "The land we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey." If the Lord delights with us, does the Lord delight with this fellowship, this speaking? He doesn't delight. These are words, not mixing faith with the promise of God. God takes such incredible delight. He is so pleased. He is so pleased when we speak words of faith to one another. So pleased that he hears it from heaven and is writing in a book. It's being recorded. The Lord is listening. And just back in Hebrews chapter 2, it says in verse 8, it says, "You have put all things in subjection under his feet," under Christ's feet. They are already under subjection. Everything, nothing is left unsubjected. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. We don't yet see it. This is a Greek word. There's actually the word "see" in verse 8 and the word "see" in verse 9 are two different Greek words. The first one, it speaks of natural, it's seeing by natural experience. It speaks of passive observing. Passively observing, just seeing, just receiving. Whatever comes, I see it. We don't yet see all things in subjection. When I'm looking naturally, I don't see the enemies destroyed. I do not see my marriage healed. I do not see the financial problems solved yet. But verse 9 is a totally another word. Speaks of active looking at that which is beyond this physical realm, by faith, seeing Jesus. in every single problem, every single enemy, every single strong city, we see Jesus. Caleb and Joshua, they are seeing Jesus. And they're not passively seeing, not passively observing, but actively believing God's promises. And this is for you and I. You know, it doesn't have to be 2 and 10. Actually, the multitude could be here walking and speaking. The whole congregation can be speaking with Joshua and Caleb. No one needs to be back here. No one. Every single one, every single precious member of the body of Christ, right up here, agreeing together in the body of Christ and encouraging one another. And not falling into the temptation of just passively getting bounced and around. It is God who said, go and look into the land. God is saying, yes, look at your financial problem. Yes, go and observe this and this. We don't have our eyes closed. They saw, Caleb and Joshua saw the giants too. But they saw Jesus. Not joining hell with earth, but joining heaven's promises with earth, speaking together. And this is powerful. This is powerful and is saving and it's delivering. And we need this. Last thing. I liked it last night. Pastor Schaller spoke about the mystery of suffering. Because this is part of it too. What did they want to do with Caleb and Joshua? Stone them. Picked up stone. They're ready to stone them. So, yeah, the world is not going to accept this. The flesh, the natural perspective is not going to accept this life of faith. But I love this. In Hebrews chapter 13, we'll just close with this. Some of you may know, I made a couple trips to Madagascar over the last 5 years, two years ago. And we had a privilege to go in and into a very remote area. We had to take a helicopter 2 hours from the capital. And we visited a village that had heard the gospel one time about 3 months before. And we went in and we shared the gospel again and many people raised their hand, and 25 people received Christ. And it was so beautiful. One of those men that received Christ that day, the missionaries we were with, they took him to the capital, and he spent 6 months training him to go back and take the gospel to his own people. There is so much evil, so much witchcraft. It is an evil place. And there was such anger by the enemy that they sent thieves to go and burn out the village. And they caught this man, this young pastor, and killed him. Not just killed him, they chopped him up. It was like the wrath of the enemy, the wrath of hell against the work of God is real. But for the glory of God, for the glory of God, the blood is not shed in vain. And we'll just finish with this, Hebrews 13. Verse 10, we have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the body of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. We're still living in this world. This world is not friendly to this reality we're speaking about. But he says, verse 13, therefore let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. There is a fellowship. There is a fellowship inside the city, inside the world. And it is connected to spiritual realities, but not heaven. And you and I, we're called in these last days to take the gospel into all the world, not fearing men, not fearing the devil, not fearing the enemy. But God has given us this land. He's given us these souls to take into all the world, not being afraid. And it begins right here in our fellowship, one with another, to join Caleb and Joshua, speak of the promises of God, pray the promises of God. And these are glorious days we live in. Don't miss it. The whole congregation up here on this side with Caleb and Joshua. No one left behind. No one back here grumbling. There's great salvation, great power, great life. Amen.